Welcome to the Life of Faith North podcast, where you can access the latest sermon of the week and explore our archive of past messages. To access other resources or view live content, please visit us on YouTube at youtube.com/@Life of Faith North. We hope you will find this message encouraging and uplifting as you listen.
Some way, again, maybe something happened in the day, and then you began to create based off of what happened. Does that make sense? But if I'm having a bad day and it perpetuates, right, then I created it. That's exactly right. I didn't rule what was going on. Again, I heard one lady say it like this one time. I think she's a pastor's wife. She said, you know, you had a bad 5 minutes. Keep that in perspective. So don't let the bad 5 minutes make a bad day. Right? And create. And so we get to create. Amen. And that's the power of what we get to do. So I just say that. So if what you would like in your home, create it. What you would like to see, the atmosphere you would like to live in, the things you would like to have happening, create them, speak them, talk about it, declare it, if you will, with your mouth. Amen. Does that make sense? If you want more happiness in your home, be happy. If you want more joy in your home, be joyful. If you want more peace in your home, be peaceable. Amen. Okay, that's all three. I'll get off that. Go to Romans chapter 6, if you will. We'll start there in just a minute, but I'll open this in prayer. Lord, we love you so much. So grateful for today. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness. Lord, all that has already been said and done throughout the time of prayer earlier today, throughout worship and communion. Just so very grateful for you in Jesus' name. Help us as we learn. Amen. Amen. Before I get too far into it, I do want to say this. I woke up this morning very aware. Today marks the 10th year for Selena and the Holloman family to have moved to Alabama. Wow. Isn't that cool? Amen. So I want to say thank you. I said this to all the leaders and the people who were in the prayer room earlier. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for being a part of that 10 years. Amen. I want you to take a minute. I want you to look around. Here we are in this wonderful place that we call home. All the stuff we're getting to do, from our Tuesday night groups and the youth group that's going on, to what else happens Thursday nights when we gather together. Here, obviously, Sunday mornings, all the different times that are happening. Thank y'all, right, for being a part of the journey. Amen. And just so grateful. And then I just wanted to share this, too. Isn't that cool what 10 years can do? So imagine where you're going to be 10 years from now if you do what Kevin says. You just don't quit, and you just keep trying, and you just keep building, and you just keep learning, and you just keep growing, and you just keep showing up. Amen. Even when it looks, I mean, again, there were times, I appreciate all of y'all here. I mean, there were times when we first started, especially here at the gathering of the church together, you know, when it was Selena and the Hollimans and the Corneliuses. And Brother Mike Julian, who's now in heaven. And that was we all started the church, and we were the only ones that showed up. Amen. And there are many times we looked at each other and said, man, you think we should stop doing this? And we said, no, we'll just keep going. We'll just keep going. And so we showed up one more Sunday, and then one more Sunday. And now look at it. And I just want to say that to you, wherever you are and whatever's going on with you, just keep showing up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Just keep creating. Just keep building. Keep loving. Amen. And you'll be amazed at where you'll be in 10 years' time. Amen. That sound good? But this morning, we're going to keep talking about what we've been talking about this whole time, about our soul and growing strong in soul. So let's do a little bit of a pop quiz, a little review. So what are the components of our soul? Who can help a pastor out? What we said, seven things. Number one,
thinking.
Our thinking. That's right. We call it our thinking. We could also call it our mind. But for the sake of this study, we're going to focus on thinking. What's the next one? Huh? Our will. Very good. What's the next one? Huh? Emotions. Come on, good and loud. Because our emotions, right? What's the fourth one? Our habits or our memories. Right? And then five is, what I said, our meanings. What's number six? Our core beliefs. We called it, I love this. This was, y'all, this is just the humor of God, right? We call it our belief system, or I'm going to start calling it our BS. Right? Because some people's belief system are just that. Right? Just BS. They don't know it. They don't understand it. But it's just what they believe. Amen? And what's the last one, finally, number seven? Our personality. Very good. Awesome. So, we talked about thinking, and we're going to move. There's more that could be said, and we might in some videos in the coming time. But when it comes to our thinking, I told you before, to me it seems that the thinking one is the most important simply because it shows up the most often in Scripture. The Bible speaks a ton about our thinking, what it can do, what we should think, how we should think, all of the things. But we're going to start now moving forward, and we're going to talk about the will. And as much as this is the most important one, I want you to understand that the will is the most powerful one. Right? So if we kind of make some notes, if you're continuing to make notes, we say your thinking is the most important. But this one truly is, guys, listen, this one is the most powerful. Why would we say that our will is the most powerful? It's the power to choose. But I want you to think about this. Do you understand that with your will, you can deny God? So think about that for a second. Now, how many of you would agree that God is omnipotent? He is all powerful. And you would be right. God is all powerful. But a human can sit there and say no. And stop the one who is all powerful. Remember it says about Jesus when he was traveling back in his ministry and he went to his hometown. And it says there he could do no mighty work save he saved a few sick folks because they were unbelieving. They had unbelief. But you understand that unbelief was they were denying who Jesus was. Because they just looked at him as, well, that's the little kid that grew up here. He's just the carpenter's son. Right? Even in their own mind, he's that illegitimate child of Mary. Does that mean they would not, they refused to yield their will to who Jesus actually was. And in doing so, they denied the power of God that says in that same passage that was present to heal them. So that tells me that there were people there who had some grave things going on. There were some people there that a mighty miracle could have been demonstrated. But because of a stubborn will, a will to only see and believe what I'm comfortable with, what I'm accustomed to, what I've always known, cut off the very presence of God. Does that make sense? Do you understand that with your will, you can deny the blessing of God? Even though it's present, even though it's there and it's all around you, that our will can cut the blessing off. Right? Again, our will can short-circuit and deny the plan of God. I mean, famously in the Old Testament, we look at Israel, right? Israel, when they came to the Promised Land that first time, they were ready. But because their will was not yielded. Again, they entered into unbelief and they limited, cut off the plan of God. It says in Psalms that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because they were unwilling. They were unwilling to believe. They were unwilling to enter in. They were unwilling to act. Does that make sense? So that's what I want us to say. That's why this part of your soul, my soul, this is the most powerful. Right? This is, it's almost like in my mind, it's almost like this is the hinge. It's almost like the muscle. It's the, and you know, so let's talk this out together. Maybe we can help. So again, we're thinking God's thoughts. We're renewing our mind to the Word of God. We're coming to God and we're reading the Word and we're looking at it. But there has to be this turning of our will to say, I'll do it. That's right. To do. That's right. There has to be a willingness to do. A willingness to move forward. I love even like what Katie said. Even if I'm afraid. Right? Even if I'm unsure. Even if I don't know what's going to happen. Does that make sense? Even if I don't, I'm not, but I can identify and I'm going to yield my will. Does that make sense? So look at this. In Romans chapter 6, let's look at some verses about this. And I'm going to, for time's sake, I'm going to lead with the ball, do my best, and try not to go there. And as always, again, if you have questions, I know we're entering into new territory, so this is a great service to interject, to ask questions, to jump in, all of the stuff. But here in Romans, and if y'all know any part of my story, Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 were my life-changing chapters where the Lord brought me into this place. Again, those that don't know my testimony, that I'd battled sexual problems and issues and pornography, even as a believer, even as a pastor, right? And it was time when the Lord brought me into these chapters and I camped out here, right, that this transformation part of that piece of my soul happened. Right. So with what I'm saying, I'm going to say this, because this is part of what jumped out at me. Romans chapter 6. Oh, where do we start here, Lord? Let's pick up for time's sake. Let's pick up around verse 10. For the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon, count, consider yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And again, I just got to stop there, just the pastor and me can't help it. Again, guys, listen, this is like what Kevin said earlier about we count it all joy. You have to count it, evaluate, consider, and reckon yourself, I am dead to sin. Why don't you say that out loud? Say, I am dead to sin. So I want to say, I am dead to sin. So I want to say, I am dead to sin. And you are alive unto God. Now, how would that, if we just literally, again, yielded ourselves completely to that verse alone, how would that transform our life? You just put a lot of stuff down. Why? Because it's dead. Amen. Come on now. Y'all doing all right this morning? So we got the heat all turned on. Y'all all nice and warm. Amen. Or is everybody thinking? Amen. Amen. So we are dead to sin. We are alive unto God. It says in verse 12, so therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Now it's interesting here in this thing. He says, hey, listen, I am dead to sin, but sin is still present in the world. But because I am dead to sin, when sin tries to come once again and take control of my life, I do not let it reign. Why? Because I'm dead to it, and I'm alive unto God. Right? He says that you should obey it in its lust. Now notice verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. And it's interesting, that word present there is connected to this word right here. We could say it like this, and do not yield or become willing in the direction of sin anymore, but yield and become willing in the direction of righteousness. He continues, we'll jump ahead, look down now at verse 15. It says, so what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under the grace? And he says, well, blasphemy, certainly not. Then in verse 16, Paul asks this question, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves to obey, you were that thing's slave to obey it? Right? And here Paul, he's talking about this again. He says, don't you understand that what you yield to, what you submit your will to, you become that thing's slave? Now here he's directly talking about sin. If I yield myself and my will to sinful behavior, then sin reigns again and I become its slave. I do what it wants. But if I yield myself to the nature that's on the inside of me, righteousness, then I become a slave of righteousness and I just do what righteousness says. But guys, let's take it a little bit further. If you yield yourself to thinking I can't, then you become I can't's slave. I can't do that. Anything after? Exactly. That's what he says. Well, you know, Dr. Nick was with us a few weeks, and he goes, anything after I am is the most powerful statement in the world. And he's talking about identity. And with that note, let me again lead with the ball a little bit here. Is this okay? Can I erase some of this? So some of the practical tools we've been implementing in these weeks we've been together, and if you haven't done this, I really do want to encourage you to do it. They are just tools, things you can build that will help you. One of them is, as Audrey said, I want you, each and every one of us needs what is called an I am statement or an I am list. The things you say, this is who I am. Right, if you're interested, and for time's sake, I won't read it, but I've got mine on my phone. I've got actually all three of these on my phone, and you're welcome to look at them at any time to see this is what I do. Remember, I promised you I would never play spiritual bluff with you. I will never encourage you to do something that I'm not first willing to do with myself. Right? So everyone needs an I am list. Everyone needs a gratitude list. What are you thankful for? Who are you thankful for? Why are you thankful for that or for them? Right? So everyone needs an I am list. Everyone needs a gratitude list. And I'm adding one that Dr. Nick taught us. But I'm adding this one. Everyone needs an I will list. Why? Because I'm strengthening that second part of my soul. Right? Well, the I am list is telling you who you are. Right? Again, mine is like this. I am a true son of my Father in heaven. I am free from sin, sickness, and lack. Right? I am free from both the temptation and the condemnation of my old self and my sin. Does that make sense? That's who I am. I say on there to you, I am a loving, passionate, and good husband. That's who I am. Right, to you guys, I am a relational pastor. Right? I am a builder of leaders and not just ministries. That's what I do. That's who I am. But let me just say, but this is my I will list. This okay? Everybody all right? Am I making sense this morning? Okay, good. So my I will list. I will practice a foreign language every day. Right? Now again, you're going to notice, and I'm a little ahead of myself maybe, your I will list takes some of these things. I've got another list on here. Now this one, you're welcome to do. It's what I do. Okay? So I have my, what we call the, I have my word list. And what I mean by my word list is for 20-something years now, I have kept track of every word that God has spoken over me prophetically. Yeah. When people have come and people have said things over me, I've either kept the audio file and transcribed it, or I've just summarized it, but I have a summary of it on my phone. And again, it's my things I believe God has told to me list, right? It's my word list, and I go back to it. Now, these things here, again, I want you to do these often. I want you to go over these lists. I would encourage you to do it daily for a little while. Now, I don't necessarily do it daily, but I do it weekly. Sometime, and as the Spirit leads me, I'll grab one or the other depending on whatever is going on in my heart or whatever He says. And He'll go, hey, go over your I am list again. Yes, sir. Now go over my I am list again. Right? But I'm adding this, and now the one I'm on now is my I will list. And I'll read you mine in just a minute. A little finger is just up, trying to make sure I get all my thoughts out. I feel like all the little squirrels are running around in my tree. Is, guys, listen, some of our biggest problems with transforming our life is we don't believe our I wills. When we actually say, I will do this, our soul goes, no, you don't mean it. Or is that just me? Am I the only one here? You know what I mean? Our I will to ourself is not strong enough. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Interesting words as I've been thinking on this. That I think I knew Jesus said this, but I surely didn't remember it when I read it just a little while ago. Have you ever been that before? You're like going, you know, I think I read that or heard that somewhere, but I haven't heard that in a long time, and it was like reading it for the first time all over again, right? So Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 31. It says, and Jesus speaking, He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. There is another who bears witness with me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness of the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me and the Father, and that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. And you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Is this the right one, Lord? Am I reading this right? I'm in John. You know why this is wrong? I'm in the wrong daggum book. I'm in John. I'm sorry, guys. I was. Hey, you thought you were confused. I'm confused. You are in Matthew. I just wasn't. I wasn't in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Let me get on the right page. Hey, this is good for all my people. We had a conversation. Remember, mistakes are not fatal. Okay, don't ever be afraid of making a mistake. Most people don't share anything because they don't want to do a mistake like I just did. And they don't want to be embarrassed, right? And they don't want to do, hey, listen, just you'll make mistakes. You just go, oops, sorry. My bad. Everybody say that. Say, my bad. My bad. My bad. It's all good. Amen. So back here. So Matthew, let's try Matthew and see what he says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Jesus again talking, he says, and again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Notice verse 34, but I say to you, do not swear at all. Now I gotta stop here just for a second, because this is still running around apparently rampant, right? People who make oaths. Something happens and they make an oath. I will never X. Guys, listen, don't do that. Don't make, did you know, and many times this kind of stuff, they do it like unto God. God, I'm going to make an oath with you. I will X, or I will never X. You know what I mean? You know, again, here's one that I've heard of, right? Is people go, you know, they get hurt at church, things go on, and the church is bad and evil and corrupt and wicked and horrible and terrible. And so I will never go to church ever again. But doing it unto God. Listen, did you know God doesn't need your vow? Right? Or you probably all heard this. Well, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, then I will fill in blank. Does that make sense? Don't make, Jesus right here says, do not swear. He's not talking about cussing. Now, it's not good to cuss either. I'm talking to myself. Right? And so he's talking about making oaths. Do not make an oath at all, neither by heaven, because heaven is God's throne, nor by the earth, because it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your own head, because you can't make one hair white or one hair black, even with dye. Amen. Come on, I thought that was funny. Anyway, but look, verse 37, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Are you with me? See, this is all, why do a lot of people, their soul is because their I will is weak. Right? They don't believe it when they say, I will do this. Because they've made a habit of that. Their soul doesn't, listen to me, when our will is strong, we all understand that with children. Have you ever heard of the phrase, a strong-willed child? Anybody ever known a strong-willed child? Any of you was a strong-willed child? Anybody was a strong-willed child? Savannah, need to raise your hand. I pick on Savannah just a little bit because she's here. So it was so funny because Sophia, when she was little, Sophia was that one, she'd look at you and all sweetly go, yes, Father, I will be glad to go do, and then never do it. Right? You'd ask Savannah to do something, she'd just look at you and go, no. Knowing you're about to beat her, you know what I mean? She'd just go, no, not doing it. You know? You know, and just, you know, we always, listen to me, we always think in our cultural mind, and I think this is why, that saying I have a strong will is bad. Remember what I've told you your whole life? You have a stronger will than the rest of your siblings because of where God's taken you. You have to know how to bring that will under the reign of the Lord. Right? So if you are a strong-willed person or you have a strong-willed child, you need to teach them to yield that will, because most of the time it means the where the Lord will take them, how He designed them to be, will hold them there. And their strength of will is a great tool. It's not a detriment. Does that make sense? And some of us probably had stronger wills. It was just beaten out of us because we were told having a strong will was bad. Does that make sense? Listen to me. Strength of will is the most powerful part of your soul. When you and I believe my own I will. That when I say I will do this, we actually do it. Strengthens our soul. So that means we need to come to a place where we are only willing to do what we say I will do. Or when I say I'm not going to do it, we don't do it. Is this helping? Why? Because Jesus himself said, hey, listen, if it's more than yes and no, I know this is going to hurt me. I hope it hurts me more than it hurts you. Right? But that means excuses are from the devil. By this one verse right here. Because that's what Jesus said. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, because whatever is more than these is of the evil one. So excuses are just from the evil one. Him trying to talk you out of what you see and have determined you will do. Does that make sense? Right? So now the I will list comes from, it really comes from these two. When I look at this, let me just do a connector. So from your I am statement and from what God has said to you, you will develop your I will list. You'll begin to put things together and it will help you know what you will do. And I want to say, and what you will not do. Because there's some things, too, we don't need to do. And I'm not just talking about, again, yes, all the sinful stuff we talked about before, I need to present myself to righteousness and do that. Yeah. And I need to not present myself to unrighteousness and not do that. Right. And that's just where we all start. But it grows to more important things. Okay, I'm about to say something I don't think I've ever said. Do you understand that that's why sin is the most unimportant thing in your life? Does that make sense? Because God liberates us, frees us from our sin, so that we can actually begin to do the things that are important. Huh? Absolutely. When we understand how unimportant sin is, right, and we understand how important righteousness is. Come on, y'all with me? We're going to get into some of this. Do you understand? And the whole understand, later in Romans 6, we didn't get there, Paul says this. He says, now you're a slave of righteousness. Praise God. How many of you had no problems before, and maybe even post, you had no problem sinning? Come on, how many of you, just be honest, sinning came easy. How many of you, that was, you know, whatever that was for you, you know, now some of us had more grievous sins that would, if we actually told them out loud, people would be, you know what I mean? A lot of us have very acceptable sins, sins that when we tell them, people go, oh, well, that's not so bad. That's where you can eat as much as you want. I mean, sinning is fun. But listen, but here's the thing. But how many of you think righteousness is just as easy? It's even more so. Very good. It gives you. Absolutely. But listen to me, that's what Paul was saying. As much as we were slaves of unrighteousness, we are now slaves of righteousness. So just as much as it was real easy for us to sin ever how we sinned, now because I'm righteous, it's just as easy for me to do right. Why? Because I'm a slave to righteousness. So listen to me. So that therefore means everything that I am, it's easy for me to do. Amen. And everything I shouldn't do, and again, I'm not talking about sin now, but the things I shouldn't be spending my time on, those are easy to say no to. Anything that takes me away from who I am, it's easy for me to go, nope, that takes me away from who I am. That's why, again, I know we try to make it's easy for me to love my wife. Why? Because I am her husband. Who else is going to do it? Amen. It's easy for me to be my children's father. Amen. How come? Because I am their dad. And I will be a good father. Is this helping anybody today? So with that, I come back to my list. And for time's sake here, we'll go for about another 10 minutes and we'll land the plane. Does that sound good? First landing. Everybody keep track. Here we go. But here's my I will. So I will practice a foreign language every day. Why? Because at our wedding 25 years ago, a lady stood up and prophesied that God would give us the nations. Does that make sense? It said that God would take us places and send us places. And He has, and He will continue to. Does that make sense? Because God in His sovereignty let me meet a great man by the name of T.L. Osborne. And for 30 minutes, I got a free lesson from him in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. And he looked at me and said, if you'll learn English, French, and Spanish, you can speak to the entire world. And God on the inside said, that's why I wanted you to meet Him. So I got two down. Got one more to go. So that's why you find my Duolingo, and it's French. Right, oui baguette. Amen. And that's more than French fry. Amen. Are you with me? And therefore it guides my praying. Lord, now I need French people to talk to. Right? Surrounded by Hispanic people. Awesome. Thank you for that. It keeps that sharp. I have a hard time finding a Frenchman. Right? I got a niece. It's fluent. Talk to her. Does this make sense? I will move, stretch, and exercise my body every day. Right? Why? Because I got places to go and I got stuff to do. Right? I will, obviously, pray daily. I will read daily. That includes my Bible, but goes beyond my Bible. Right? Why? Because we've talked about it all before. Because Paul said to Timothy, give attention till I come to reading. Right? I will spend time with a family member every day. Amen. And that I will, and this is thanks to Kevin, I added this one, I will send encouragement to at least two people every day, either via text or a phone call. Right? And I'm growing that list. What will you do? What is inside of your will to do? How many of you are like, I haven't the faintest idea? Okay, good. Thanks for that. I love Courtney. Thanks, Honest. So listen, how many of you would like to know where to start? Okay, go to Psalms chapter 37. And we'll end with this. Psalms 37. Is this helping anybody this morning? Y'all just awful quiet. I'm getting used to y'all being quiet.
We're thinking, we're processing.
Good. As long as we're thinking. Psalms 37. Very, very famous passage we all know. And we'll pick up in verse 4. We'll actually pick up in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and then He will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you have ever heard that verse before? Right? So here's what it means. So we have our heart down here, and we've talked about before where our heart brain is, and that's what we're rewiring. So the word delight there means, it's got a couple of different meanings, but one of the meanings is this. It's a word picture of clay on the potter's wheel. When God says, delight yourself in the Lord, what delighting looks like, yes, it does look like, yay, He's awesome, He's wonderful, He's amazing, and I'm delighted to know Him. But because of that and because of who He is, delighting means my will is moldable. My My inside is moldable. Lord, I will let you make of me what you want me to be. When that is our heart's cry, and you've heard me say it now for a year and change, Lord, I want your will, your way. You've heard me say that. Brother Greg Moore said that to us a couple of years ago to Selena and I, and that is just resonant. He was talking about delighting yourself in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord looks like, Lord, your will, your way. Your will, your, I want your will, Lord, your way. I make myself moldable to you, that you can fashion of me what you will. See, guys, when that is our heart attitude, then he begins to put inside of our heart our I wills. Does that make sense? At first, I'm like, Lord, I want whatever you want to make of me. Ever what you want to do with me. And again, I'm going over my I am statements. And again, I hope you understand all of these. I'm not just willy-nillying these. This is all done. And that's why I think they'll be for our whole life. They'll be living documents that'll just keep growing as we grow and expanding. But all of these we do with him. This is part of my own personal time with God. So if you read my I am list, all of those I am statements came from time with God, where he said those two things to me through his word or through the word of somebody else. Amen. So that's why y'all have heard me say this. And my cry is, Lord, you have said for 20-something years to me that there is a bigness in me. And I'm talking about Brad. I can't talk about you. I'm just talking about me. So I'm not bragging. Does that mean I'm just trying to share and make this? So, but it begins with, then Lord, I have to be willing to let you make me big, even when that makes me uncomfortable. Even when the thought of bigness and the responsibility that will be put upon me as I continue to grow in God sometimes scares the bejesus out of me. But I have to say, I will allow you to make me be bigger. So that means then when people come and they begin to hand me bigger things to do. Does that make sense? Right? When things grow and I'm just trying to make this as brass tacks as I know how and just as real. I just want to be, how many of you know that I love to plant stuff? If y'all know me, anytime I've enjoyed sustainable agriculture and ideas and urban farming and all this fun stuff. But it's interesting that I've yielded. I still like to do it, but I won't do as much of it this year. I'm going to do some stuff with Savannah and some of the kids just because I do like it. But I have to realize I have to be very cautious with that area of my life. I mean, that's why I don't mean to hurt your feelings. But that's why I'm secretly glad whatever killed our chickens. Right? Because we just have bigger things to do. Right? That's why I'm really glad I don't have bees. I love bees. I'd love to keep bees again maybe in the future because it's something I enjoy. It's not evil. It's not. But I look and go, but I don't have time right now. I can't do that right now. Does that make sense? I'm trying to be as real. See, again, you need to be, but it's easy. It's easy to grow into these things, but you have to be willing. And where people stumble is when it's, again, it's, help me, Holy Spirit, with this, is it seems at times it's easier to say no to the obvious sinful stuff. Okay, yeah, no, I shouldn't be looking at porn. I shouldn't be whatever, right? I shouldn't be watching that movie. I shouldn't be things that would be way easier. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't. Sometimes the hard ones that trip us up in the I will process are, what do you mean I can't? But I like the cookie. That's a veiled, if you ever seen Over the Hedge. Over the Hedge, another great movie to watch, kids movie, Over the Hedge, and there's one of my favorite scenes, and there's the squirrel. And the guy goes, "You can't have the cookie." And the squirrel goes, "But I like the cookie." But I like it. And sometimes, you know, you're coming and you're looking at where God wants to take you and you go, "But I like the cookie." Right? Right? There's really good things. Listen to me. Guys, listen to me. But that's really, most of us are not going to stumble over the big stuff. Yeah. We're going to stumble over the small stuff. Right? We're going to stumble over when the opportunity from God comes and my favorite thing today might be in the way. Does that make sense? Does that help? Does that help anybody? But when I got that, okay, Lord, your will, your way, I delight myself in you. I make myself moldable to you. And you begin to form my life. And you begin to do what we always love to say in church. He is the potter. I am the clay. And we all tear. But when we really mean that, and he begins to say, "Well, I need you to write that book." Again, let me add something to my list. Is this all right? I'm just trying to be real with y'all guys. This is how this looks. This is what it looks like. Y'all, this is live. I will record teachings at least once a week. I will. Why? Because last year in June, Greg Moore, who is one of my pastors, looked at me and said, "Brad, you need to make a podcast." On the other side of that is the influence God wants to give you. Yeah. Do you understand? So this is what this looks like. So that means I will. That means I will do this, and by nature then, when the time he'll show, then I won't do this. And now at this stage of my life, everything now that I have to say no to is a good thing. But I still have to say no to some good things to get to some great things. And I love that book. It's called, if you haven't read it before, it's a business book, but it's called From Good to Great. And I love the author says that the enemy of great isn't bad. The enemy of great is good. And it's being unwilling to let go of what is today's good thing so I can build toward tomorrow's great thing. Does that help anybody? We're going to end right there. So let's do this, and we've got just a couple of minutes. We're going to have a quiet time. If you've got a piece of paper, if you've got your phone, you should begin your I will list this morning. Yeah, play some soaking music, just something that we can just play out loud for people. I was going to ask somebody to play, but everybody that I have that would need to play needs to make their list. No, you can just start. Just start. Begin with your I will. Even if you haven't made your I am yet, right? Again, you can start because your I ams are already in your heart if you haven't written them down. But I want you to be very, very, very conscious of what you're about to say, I will do. Because I want your to make sure your heart is persuaded towards it. Because everything you put down, because this is why this is important. Jesus said in Mark, he said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth or say with your mouth and you speak to the mountain, and I'm going to just read it from, I read it from an interesting thing the other day. If y'all give me just a second, while y'all are just writing the list down. So Jesus said this, Mark 11:23, this is an Amplified classic. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whoever says to the mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him." The reason why some people's faith confessions aren't working is that their life doesn't believe their "I wills." Because we've said repeatedly, "I will do X," and not done it. And then all of a sudden, when it comes time to talk to cancer, our body doesn't believe us. Because we've said all kinds of stuff that we didn't mean. And so we've literally wired our body to not believe our "I will." So what I want to say with this is, as you make this list, I want it to be something that you really are saying, "Okay, I will do this." And when I have to give up the good thing to do the "I will" thing, that's going to be easy. Because I've determined this is what I will do. And so I encourage you with that. That's why my list, it's real small. I'm going to keep it as small as I possibly... This is not right now a list I'm wanting to grow much beyond what I just put on it right here. Because I want to keep all of these things, because I realize in my own life, in Brad's life, for many years, my life doesn't believe my "I wills." Especially when it comes to things with my physical body. Right? And that for me, that for Brad, has to change. Amen? So Father, as we come to you this morning, as people are writing this down, Holy Spirit, I trust and know that you are talking, you are leading, you are ministering, you are showing each and every one of us what it is you want us to do. Father, our heart this morning, our cry this morning is your will, your way. Lord, our delight is to do your will, just as Jesus said. Our very food, the very thing that gives us satisfaction and sustenance in life, is to do your will. To do exactly what you want us to do. Lord, this morning, our commitment to ourselves. Lord, I'm not making this promise to Selena. I'm not making this promise to my kids. I'm making this promise to me. That more and more, as I walk forward, Lord, my yes will be yes, and my no will be no. Help me guard my mouth. I know at times, Lord, I still struggle myself with trying to please people, trying to make folk happy. Right? Don't want to disappoint nobody because I have to tell them no. But Lord, I just want to, from this day forward, continually get stronger in my "I will" muscle. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our Life of Faith North podcast. If you would like to partner with us by giving, please visit our Cash App page. This can be found at cash.app/$LOFNorth. We hope this message was encouraging to you today. Thanks again for listening, and have a blessed day.